Let's get Sean in next. 916-909-1320 Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. Sean, what's going on, man?
What's going on, fellas? I can't believe Kenny's defending the Lakers yet again, calling out a championship. But anyway, of the dangers of mediocrity. I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Please forgive me. I don't like Aaron Rodgers, but
hey, salute. You go with us.
Mediocrity, and you will never, never have the man. Now tell me the last time somebody won a chip without having a man on their team. I'm not talking about men. I'm talking about a man. The last time, you got to go back to Chauncey and Rasheed Wallace and Ben Wallace and all them boys. When's the last time you seen a team win without the man? We don't get players hop to our team, and we haven't proven success through the draft. We got to try something, or we just going to live in this, you know, play-in game, six spot in the Western Conference for the next 10 years. I don't want to do that.
No, I feel you on that, and you're right about, you know, not having the man and all this other stuff. My thing is always there's other ways to get him. With the Kings, it's not ever really going to be free agency, so you're not going to be able to get it that way. I would like to be more aggressive in the trade market. I'd like to, and hence what I was talking about a month ago, moving on from Domas, going after a LaMelo Ball, going after a Trae Young. That's where I would take my gambles. I've seen those guys. I know what they are in the NBA, as opposed to like not being good for, you know, 2 years and then like hoping that that I'm right about this 18-year-old or something like that. I'd much rather be more aggressive in the trade market if I was Sacramento over the years. I'd be trying to any disgruntled guy, any guy that, you know, maybe you don't think is in the right situation, I'd be looking to trade for him and trade draft picks and all this other stuff for that. That's where I'd be looking more times than not to go get, quote-unquote, the guy is in that trade market.
916-909-1320. Appreciate you, Sean. Let's talk to our man, TC. TC, what's going on, brother?
What's up with my two brothers?
What's good, man? How you doing, big dog?
Hey, well, you know what? To be honest with you, I'm good, bro. You know what I mean? Like, hey, Kings fans, bro. So, look, hold on, D-Lo, Jesse. Hey, so, bro, check it out.
You got it, boss.
What do we want, though? I heard you asking that, D-Lo. Like, what do we want? Everybody's talking about a point guard, this, that. We got one now, bro, right? Okay, well, Detroit, y'all want to do a sign-in trade? Okay, well, I'm going to need something with that. I'm going to need a first or at least a couple seconds. Oh, y'all don't want to do it? Okay, I'm going to just sign them. That's what that move told me. As far as the signing, Kuminga signing trade, I'm in for that. The dude's a young buck, athletic dude. If that's the move we're doing, I'm all for that. But I'm talking to Kings fans like you, D-Lo. What do you guys want? We have a point guard for the next couple years until all this money falls off the books. Yes, we're going to be competitive. We're not tanking. We're not selling pieces off and doing all that. We're going to stay relevant while this money falls off the books, bro, and then we're going to go there. But Kings fans, what do we want? We have a point guard now. What do we want, bro? Everybody's like mad and mad at the world. BJ and Perry are two cold individuals, bro, that's putting this team together. Give them time. They know what they're doing. It's not Monty McNair, Vlade Divac. It's not none of that. These are two competent dudes that know what they're doing. Kings fans, what do we want, bro? That's all I got, man. I'm hot.
I was happy 30 seconds ago.
That's all I got. Hey, clip that. That's a drop right there. That's all I got. I'm hot. Shout out TC, man. I agree with a lot of what he said too. You know, I mean, as far as the point guard, Dennis Schroeder, and all this other stuff, like I like Dennis. I think he's a good ball player. I don't think he's the future. I don't think he's a franchise point guard, nothing like that. People even push back on whether or not he's a starting point guard. That's debatable. I mean, he started something like 50 of the 75 games he played last year. So it's debatable, but I don't look at him as some type of savior. But I think he is a good ball player. I think he is a point guard. And I'm okay with trying to always be open to figure out like what you can do to improve this team and trying to get more talent in here. And you got to figure out this log jammer at the guard spot. And maybe you can flip one of those guys and get a player of need somewhere else. But I didn't have a problem with much of what TC said.
All right. Speculation that TC's not real. Oh, he's real, pal. 916-909-1320. Ross, what's up, baby?
Hey, what up, fellas? Long time no talk, man.
Yeah, man. Now we get a coach's perspective in here. Go ahead, Luke. I mean, Ross.
You know, I've been listening, though. You guys are killing it like usual. You know what? I agree with TC, man. Getting Trey, getting Jaw, that scares me. They don't play defense and injury issues, whatever you want to call it. But trading away 3-4 first-round picks just to be maybe the fifth, fourth seed, best option scares me. Like you said, the money comes off the books 27-28, so we might just have to sit tight and then 26-27, you know, take salary dumps or whatever you want to call it. But I think we just got to wait it out and give Perry a chance to clear the runway for 27-28, as much as that's painful to hear.
You know, that's probably – I don't know if clear the runway is the right way of phrasing it, but there's a certain level of just survive and figure it out. This team has had no direction since the end of Game 7. They didn't. They didn't that offseason. They didn't the next year. And, you know, I can give them a, like, they tried. But, like, if I had told my mom in school, I tried, Mom. Yeah, try harder, bro. Mm. Like, you ain't living at home forever. Right. Try harder. Get the job done. Time and time again, they didn't get the job done. They were waiting. Financial flexibility. This, that, and all we wound up with was a team that got progressively worse over 3 years and everybody unemployed since then.
Facts.
Let's see what Stanley talking about here. Hey. 916-909-1320.
Hall of Famer.
What's up, Stanley?
Well, first off, I want to ask you all, what have you all heard concerning one of my old favorite Kings players, Big G, Gerald Wallace? What have you all heard? I mean, what's he doing these days? But the main thing I call to say is the Kings should have marshaled all of their plans together to get Trae Young. That's what they should have done.
Stanley? I agree.
That was his point. So he was done after that.
I agree with Stanley.
I've said it a number of different times. I would have, if Trae Young was there, and we've heard a number of different things to say, essentially, we don't know like the details of the deal or nothing like that, but essentially, if the Kings wanted Trae Young, Scott Perry wanted Trae Young, he could have got him. If that's true, I absolutely would have gone after Trae Young.
I think a lot of people are going to change their mind about him after the season. Mm.
Trae?
Yeah.
Mm.
I mean,
you think Atlanta's better now?
Yeah, I think this will be, I don't know, I don't know their rosters in front of me and all that. You could argue this would be their best roster he's played with so far. Mm.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Jalen Johnson can come back healthy. You know what I mean? That's going to be a big piece to what they're trying to do. So they definitely got some ball players. But I agree with Stanley. I absolutely would have gone.
You know who doesn't agree with you, Stanley, is Scott Perry.
That's true.
Why do we think
Scott? That wasn't us. That was Scott. No, that was Stanley. No, call him. Yeah. Scott just called again.
Why do we think they didn't want Trey? I've seen stuff about identity, and I saw that kind of get thrown around with Malik and stuff like that, and why maybe they want to move on from him and all that. Like, what are they looking for here?
So, for me personally, what I try to do, like, there are players that I like, and I don't think that people necessarily always do this. They just love their player, and they're like, to the end of the earth. Like, I like Trae Young. I would have traded for him. I understand why somebody wouldn't want to trade for him. He's a small guard. Doesn't play defense, hasn't really shown the ability, and we've talked about the roster, but still hasn't shown the ability to raise the level of others around him. There's been some personality quirks with him, you know, if you think that maybe his teammates haven't always loved him, that's something that's been out there, coaches, all this other stuff. So there are reasons why, and then what it would take to get him and keep him here. You're giving up like 3 or 4 first rounders and you're paying them $50 million a year. I can understand somebody not wanting to do that for Trae Young. I disagree, mm-hmm. but I can understand that. Mm-hmm. I can absolutely understand that.
Man.
It's unpopular. It's going to take a couple of years.
That is the most uncomfortable reality of
like,
all
like, that's
of
just
this.
What it is. I'm sorry. Like, the Kings are the island of misfit toys right now. Nobody wants LaVine. They're not trading DeMar. I don't think you're
Domas and all that. Fans wanted a quick fix. Like, I'm not sure what everyone's hope was entering this offseason. But, like, a quick fix, one signing. I mean, this was a 40-win basketball team that we feel like if you're truly being fair to the story, you will discuss the extenuating circumstances. But in the last couple of days, we're hearing, you know, I don't want Malik gone. Okay. Well, why didn't Keon get his extension? Okay. Well, where's Keegan's extension? All right. So be clear, y'all just want to run it back. No, guys, we don't want to run it back. We want DeMar gone.
And LaVine.
Well, and LaVine. Oh. Okay. So y'all hate DeMar and want him traded. What do you think the rest of the league thinks? Y'all were the same people, and I cannot stress this enough. I don't think this is true. Someone reported that the Chicago Bulls tried to attach like two first-round picks or three first-round picks to Zach LaVine, and no one would take him. Go to hell. Go straight to that the depths
is,
of hell.
That is some of the biggest cap I've ever
heard in my life. That is absolutely insane to believe that that's true. But you're here today telling the Sacramento Kings to go trade Zach LaVine. Fine. By your rationale, you want the Kings to attach multiple first-round picks to get him out of here? Guys, what are we doing? What are we doing?
I don't know. They just...
So we're just arguing amongst each other at this point.
People just got upset and... and just one event, and I'll be fine. I'll be real with you. Fine, come through to D'Lo and KC. Come to the chatty house. Call in 916-909-1320. You can vent. You can be upset. All this other stuff. Just know that in some cases, if you vent too much, you're always complaining about everything that's going on and everything's wrong. People will just kind of tune you out. Like that's how I go about things, right? Like. If you're always complaining, I'm just kind of going to stop listening to you because I've already got it. Nah, he's going to complain about everything. He's just going to complain. He's just a chronic complainer. So you tweet me, you call the show, you get in the chatty house, and it's just, everything's wrong. All right, bro, I get it. Everything's wrong. I don't really need to, like, hear the explanation anymore. Just I know you think everything's wrong.
So let's all get together and problem solve. What's the right move for this organization to make? What are the right moves for this organization to make? We'll discuss that. We see a lot more of you on hold. We're going to get to each and every single one of you. Please be patient. We'll get right back to the calls here with D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. All right, let's get back to the Elk Grove Kia talk line here. We're going to try to turn this team into a winner somehow. 916-909-1320. We'll start with Sal. Sal, what's going on, man?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Hopefully you can hear me. I'm on the road right now.
Yes, sir. Loud and clear, man.
Oh, right on. You know, I appreciate your guys' your insight on things, and I listen to all bunch of different. I'm a basketball fan first. I'm an old head. First time I saw the Kings was in 1988. Went to lots and lots of games, standing room only. The thing is that we are in a holding pattern the next 2 years, it seems like. I'm not a LaVine fan. I don't think we should have got him, but what's done is done. It doesn't seem like anybody would want to take his contract, which is understandable. But since that is the case, we need to somehow play towards his tendencies. And we know that he doesn't make very good decisions. He's got a low IQ. If he's dribbled the ball more than two times and he's not going towards the rim, there's something wrong. So we're going to have to somehow incorporate these next couple of years and hopefully he stays on the court and injuries aren't a big deal or won't be a big deal, but everyone's going to get hurt. Everybody plays hurt. I think the Kings, as an organization, the lack of leadership from the very top is going against all universal law. And when you have people saying, let's tank, let's do this, let's do that, that's just not a winning mindset. That is a scarcity, weak-minded way to approach life. And here in Sacramento, we're blue-collar people. We work hard. Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Now, if we're going to just go on the floor and just jack up a bunch of threes, then of course we're only going to win about 30-something games. If we have some type of system, and I come from a defensive-minded background. I played high-level sports. And the first person that punches the other team in the mouth and shows the more aggression generally does better. When the Kings have a mentality, and I like Doug Christie as a person and certainly as a player.
Mm-hmm.
As a coach, it still remains to be seen. But we have to remember, this whole situation is so wonky and jacked up. They hired Doug Christie before Mr. Perry, and so they're trying to work together.
Yeah, I appreciate you. That didn't exactly happen. Like, I understand people. Yeah, I hear you, listening to you, but that didn't happen. Doug was the interim head coach. Scott Perry hired Doug Christie. He said, I can only tell you what Scott Perry told us. He came in, he talked to a few people around the league that he knew wanted the job. In the end, he wanted Doug Christie to be the guy, and we're gonna keep it moving. Appreciate you, man. Thank you for the call. I think that was Sal. 916-909-1320. Steven, what's good, man?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's up, big dog?
From Alabama. It's good to hear from y'all. I listen to y'all all the time. I figured I would call in.
Appreciate you, Brody.
Man. Shout out to you.
Yeah, I was just calling to vent a little bit, man. I think the biggest issue for me is the whole feeling of, oh, we're just going to run it back. You know, Dennis Schroeder is a running back type of move, and it's like we are an old team, and this is not a lot of hope or positivity to look forward to. I mean, we got the two guys we just drafted, but one move I would say I would like to do is, it would be a minor move, but since we don't have a long-term solution at point guard, I say why not bring in a guy like Trey Mann just to, you know, see what you got. Because other than that, we've got like one of the oldest rosters in the league, but yet old but not good enough to win anything meaningful. So that's just one minor issue I would like to see. But other than that, that's all I got.
Okay.
I hear you.
That's all right. We appreciate you.
No doubt, man. No doubt. I'm intrigued by Trey, man. You know, I know James always talks about like his injury history, and that's a concern. And they're like serious, like back injuries and stuff like that. So that's a concern. I like his talent, though. And for the right price, I mean, not right now because you got so many guards, but like if you had an opening at the backup point guard spot or one of your wing guards, I'd for sure take a look at Trey Mann, but I don't know if they're going to have that kind of space.
Let's get some men here. Reminder, Trista Crick coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour, and she already said she might just stick around.
Let's do it.
916-909-1320. What's up, Manny?
What's up, y'all? Like, I think a lot of the conflicting feelings that a lot of the fans have is I think at the end of the season, right, there was a big sigh, and I think everybody's attention was towards DeMar and Zach, right? And we kind of already had established, like, it was going to be hard to move Zach no matter what because of his contract and the years left. And I think everybody was so zoned in on DeMar, they weren't really looking at it from the perspective of, like, it's more than just tomorrow. Like, if you're going to reset this, or there's a lot of moving pieces that have to happen. And I think because of the way Monk had professed his love to this city for so long, when that came up 24 to 48 hours ago, that was jarring for a lot of fans. I don't think they were prepared for that. And I think that's where you got a lot of backlash you saw on Twitter and, you know, wanting this and this and that. And I don't think everybody thinks, like the way you said, D'Lo, like, and even KC said, like, look, I don't agree with what these people think his worth is, but that is what it is right now. And you can't dictate the market on what you want it to be. The market is what the market is. And if nobody wants to give you what you want, there's only a limit, right? And a lot of people are saying, well, just keep him anyway. look, you got to make a decision, and it's beyond just the love for one player or the love for one or two players. If you want to make a change, let Perry do what he's going to do. Don't look in the immediate present of what he's doing. Let him work it out, and let's see where it goes down the line. Because any moves he makes now, people are going to find something wrong with it. But you got to see, let him play out his vision, and let's just see where it goes. Like, I don't care what he does, whether I agree with the move or not. I'm looking at a year or two down the line as, all right, at that point, where are we at? What did you do to help not only make this team good right now necessarily, but where are we set for going forward and into the future? Because that's way more important than anything.
Manny, I'm not going to tell fans to be patient. This fan base has been patient enough. I'll tell you my approach is I'm willing to see it out. Like, that's all I can do. I'm not big on the idea of Malik Monk being traded, but I get it. Like, I like Malik as much as everybody else does. I get, though, why they're trying to trade him. I don't like Devin Carter. I don't know what to tell you. You saw something in his game at the end of the season I just did not see. You have a significantly better basketball eye than I do. You think there's something there? Great. I don't know how he fits. Unless you really believe long term, you've got something with Devin Carter, and you can see through what is probably DeMar DeRozan's last year, assuming he's still here, and you can see through Zach LaVine's 2 years, and then also you got Neek coming in now. Like, if you can navigate all of this because you think Devin Carter can be a solid player for you moving forward, like, cool. Like, I'm willing to see it through. But I'm just going to give Scott Perry a chance to put this together. That's all I can do. Like, this isn't the front office of last year. This isn't Mike Brown. We can't blame Mike and Monty and Wes for everything. There's one guy you can blame for everything, whether that has any validity or not. You can blame that guy because he's the one that's always here. But the conversations about, you could say, yeah, man, that last front office put Scott Perry in a tough position. All right, Scott, figure it out. Very literally your job. When you interviewed for this, assuming you interviewed, you knew this was a tough spot. Anyone who took this job was going to be in a difficult position. They were probably going to be operating without a draft pick. They were going to have to find a way to work their way into the draft if that's what they wanted to do. You have the Zach LaVine deal. You're going to have to navigate the DeMar DeRozan situation. You've got the Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray extension. You've got a lot that you got to deal with as the general manager of this basketball team. Monty did this. Mike did this. Wes did this. Vivek did that. Too goddamn bad. Scott, is your job to fix it. That's what you were hired here for. I'm going to give him an opportunity to fix it. And if he doesn't, I'm going to tell you that he doesn't or that he hasn't. But I'm going to at least give him the opportunity to do it.
I mean, and that's, I'm much like you in that respect, where I'm not going to tell anybody how to feel or what to do, because I just live by the simple. I don't want nobody telling me what to do and how I should feel. So how am I going to tell somebody else how to go about these things? You want to be upset? You want to be angry? You want to vent and talk about how bad people are? Sure, go ahead. That's fine. I am going to practice patience, because I'm of the belief if you do want things to change, it does take time. And people who don't want to take that time or don't want to go, understandable. But because you don't want to doesn't make things go any faster the way I believe it. Like, you can get mad and hate it all you want. That doesn't, you can't skip steps.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't. And I'm a big believer in that in life. You can't skip steps. If you want to reach a goal, attain a goal, it's going to take putting in the work and getting things done. So, you know, if you're not for that, or you don't want to follow this team and do all that while they go about that and don't believe in them, that's cool. That's fine. But I didn't come into this offseason thinking that they hired Scott Perry, everything's going to be good by August.
Hmm.
Like, that's not, and that's even thinking that DeMar DeRozan wasn't going to be here. You know what I'm saying? Like, now that he might be here, that's one less trade asset that you have. So,
and that
it's
going
to take time.
That does make me wonder if the market is truly that bad for Malik. And maybe they're attempting to trade Devin and can't. Maybe the market isn't there for him either. I mean, he's essentially an unproven player. You'd have to be, you know, you'd have to really believe in what you think that young man could be based on mostly his college film, and maybe you can go off some stuff at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Do you, because you and I are of the belief, and a handful of others, Matt George too, that maybe they don't want to trade DeMar DeRozan. Like, that's, they would like him to be here. Do you have to pivot back to DeMar if that's still an asset that has value around the league? Do you have to, man, we really would have loved to keep DeMar, but we're kind of just jammed in this backcourt. We have to do something to balance this roster out a little bit. It's not our first choice, man, but maybe we do have to move DeMar.
It has, like, all things got to be considered, in my opinion. And that's not a cop-out answer to what you're saying, but
no, it's a perfectly fine
all things
answer.
Have to be considered. I think you even have to consider the way you go about it and saying, all right, we want to keep DeMar around. We want to keep DeMar around, but we're not married to him. We'll listen to offers right now. More importantly, if we go into the season and still have DeMar, we're going to listen to offers in February. And we're going to listen if somebody, if Cleveland, you know, I just throwing out a team, but if they need a score around the deadline and they're desperate, yeah, DeMar might be available then. Maybe we can get a better return on DeMar in February than we can in July.
If the market is what the market is right now, there's no real value for these guys, then I'm sorry, but at this point, like, Scott Perry has no choice but to hang on to him, I feel. Like, I don't
survive and figure it out. Well,
yeah, like, I don't, like, hopefully, like, it's easier to move on from LaVine next season because he's got a year less on his deal, or maybe it's easier to move on from Sabonis and things like that. But it's like, right now, it's like, you don't want to just sell guys off for nothing. Like, that's why I was so against Monk for Schroeder, because it's like, you can get Schroeder just here. You don't need to give Monk away.
And I'm of the belief, and Dame, you can tell me if I'm off, or anybody can tell me if I'm off. A lot of these people are looking at it as the player. And I got a different approach to it and a different outlook on it. I don't know if people don't like Malik Monk as much as they're scared to death of this apron stuff. And they aren't taking any chances with any acquisitions.
Mm.
Like, anything that's going to bring them closer to that. Not saying that Malik Monk alone is going to bring somebody to a first apron or a second apron or something like that. But everybody's just, I mean, hell, people are talking about there's no, and I know it's not apples to apples, there's no trade market for LeBron James. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was only three teams, quote unquote, that wanted Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those things play a factor into how these teams are moving right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to make sure, you know, you're not first apron. Definitely want to make sure you're not second apron. Hell, the Celtics just parted with 3/5 of their starting lineup or something like that, because we don't want to be in this apron, because not only is it the money, but that affects what moves we can make just in general.
They just signed a guy today for $5 million per. I think that put him back over the second apron, so now they got to make more moves.
Man.
That's what Keith Smith says, at least.
So I think it's not the end-all, be-all, but I think that does play a factor into player X's market. You know what I mean? If you didn't have all this stuff, sure, somebody would take a $30 million chance on Jonathan Kuminga. The guy's 22 years old or something like that. Like, sure, let's take a chance on him. But now when you got all these restrictions because of the aprons and stuff, it has people thinking twice a little bit, I believe.
Let's get Phil in here, 916-909-1320. Appreciate you being patient, Phil. What's going on, man?
What's going on, guys? What's going on?
What's up, man?
Hey, so I think Jonathan Kuminga, low-key, is probably going to go to Indiana when Miles Turner gone. They're going to need, like, a power forward or a center type to take a spot. So I think we're going to be out.
out of the Kuminga stuff, I'm not. Yeah, I mean those guys that you referenced earlier are more connected than I am. I don't know how realistic that was. I can't. That, and that's the other thing about Kuminga, Kings or not Kings or the league, mm-hmm. I have no clue what that looks like. And it really depends on who they're talking to, doesn't it? Because if this is a sign and trade, Brooklyn, for example, just saying a name, I know they have cap space. Brooklyn, it's fine. Max contract. Mm-hmm. We'll sign Kuminga to a max contract. So go ahead, sign Kuminga to a max contract. What's the trade look like? Boom, 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 boom. Here, we'll send it back. We've got the space. We're good. Take Brooklyn out. You got four other teams that are like, well, we're 4-80. Well, we could do 4-92. We could do 4-1. It's like, you've got the dollar figure that you have to manage if you're Kuminga in his group. Then you've got the asset return if you're the Golden State Warriors that you got to make work. And there's just so many moving parts when it comes to a sign and trade. There's so many moving parts when it comes to a player who might be coveted by a handful of teams in the league. I don't know that he is. I imagine and have always imagined he would be, but I just don't know what that looks like, period. And I really don't know what that would look like for Sacramento.
Yeah, I have no clue. No clue.
Again, I thought Sacramento's best asset, one, it's either Domantas Sabonis, which I don't think is a thing, or it's Jonas Valanciunas, who is no longer a Sacramento King. So I don't know.
Well, we did say we were going to try and figure out together how to get this done. And
yeah,
I think there's I think there's multiple ways that you can be successful if you're trying to get the Kings in a good position. And I don't know if there's any one right way. Like I look at the roster. If I'm Scott Perry right now today, I look at this roster. And I'm assuming, I would still try and make calls, but I'm assuming I can't move Sabonis or LaVine for their worth, for a good trade package. DeMar DeRozan, I'd be looking at that trade market for him and seeing if anything is appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Be doing the same for Malik Monk. But what I'm not going to do, and I told this to the insiders earlier.
Mm-hmm. Good show.
Very good show. Is if I don't think, I'll put it to like this, I don't think you can be the best player on my team, I'm not going to mortgage my future right now from Scott Perry.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give up draft capital, and I'm not going to overpay and get into another bad contract if I don't think you can be the best player on my team. So that's going to kind of limit what I might do this offseason. I'm a little bit more resigned to the fact that maybe you do stand pat and go into the season. I still think you got to move on from one Monk, Keegan, or Devin. I don't want to go into opening night with those three on the roster, along with Dennis Schroeder. But other than that, I'm more resigned to kind of running back this thing and monitoring as the season goes along, whether they're a good team or whether, you want to move on from a guy like DeRozan or somebody at the trade deadline. But opening night and what I do this offseason is going to be very, very selective if I'm putting this team together.
What do you think Scott Perry's trying to establish in his first season? Like, are you trying to get the playoffs? Are you trying to establish culture here? Like, what is the goal, I guess?
I think the number one thing is to get a situation where everybody in the building is on one accord. And
like, are you looking at this roster too? Like there's a future with some of these guys? Because that's one thing I do struggle with this team is like, DeMar DeRozan seems like he'll be here this season, but I don't see anything past 2 years with the Kings. Same with LaVine. Sabonis, who knows? It seems like it fluctuates with that guy as far as what people say and all that. But like Monk is on the verge of getting traded, it seems like, all the time now. It's just like, what's the What do you see here?
You know what I think about in moments like this is I think what does ESPN think?
Oh, what did they say?
ESPN wrote about the Kings adding point guard Dennis Schroeder on the 3-year, $45 million deal. Graded it a C-.
Okay.
Here's what they said. Please listen closely. New Sacramento general manager Scott Perry seemed to signal the Kings' pursuit of a point guard when he called the lack of traditional playmaker an obvious need during his introduction to local media. Although that statement is hard to dispute, I'm not convinced playmaking was actually Sacramento's biggest shortcoming. After the Kings reshuffled their roster by trading De'Aaron Fox to the San Antonio Spurs in a 3-team trade that netted Zach LaVine as a replacement, they essentially filled point guard by committee. Both LaVine and nominal small forward DeMar DeRozan are capable of ball handlers. As are guards Keegan Ellis and Malik Monk.
We've got a new player to the Kings no-name roster.
Again, that's Keegan Ellis and Malik Monk. To some degree, Schroeder could help there. He's capable of providing full court pressure on opposing ball handlers. Still, the 6'1" Schroeder makes the Kings even smaller on the perimeter, and he's essentially a downgrade defensively as compared to Ellis. I wonder who he's referring to. He's talking about Keegan Murray or Keon Ellis. Offensively, Schroeder has always been better cast as a playmaker off the bench than as a starter. His value was fluctuated in large part with his 3-point percentage. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Remember that the next time ESPN has something to say about Sacramento. Both LaVine and DeMar DeRozan are capable ball handlers. Okay. As are guards Keegan Ellis and Malik Monk. Clearly, they didn't see Malik Monk as a point guard with this unit. And clearly they didn't watch a single Kings basketball game last year.
And that's one of the things I was talking about with Malik. Last night, I was on these airwaves talking about I want to see him as a point guard. I want to see what it looks like. I think he's got the passing ability and the quickness and all and some components to be a starting point guard. I saw it. I didn't like what I saw. Mm-hmm. He's too erratic. He's not as stable and grounded all the time as you would want your point guard. And I didn't like him as a point guard. That doesn't mean I don't like him as a player or want him on the team, but just I saw that time and I said, I don't think that's best for him. That's not putting him in the best situation to be your starting point guard. And that's not getting the most out of Malik Monk by having him as your starting point guard. Spot duty, sometimes off the bench, sure, that works. But I came away saying you need to go find a starting point guard. Whether or not Dennis Schroeder is looked at as a starting point guard or not, that's a whole nother conversation. But I did agree with Scott Perry and them that that's what you needed to do.
Kevin Pelton, sorry.
Keegan Ellis, I don't really have any thoughts about.
Keegan Ellis. Shout out.
Based on that cost, I undoubtedly would have preferred offering Tyus Jones a deal similar to the one he signed with in Orlando for 1 year and $7 million. Quick message for Kevin Pelton. Quick question. How do you know they didn't?
Right.
How do you know bro didn't say, salute, I'm going to go play in Orlando, though? I have no idea if they did or didn't, but stating it so factually because Tyus went to Orlando and not Sacramento is bizarre to me. Also, I don't know, I guess I know everyone's a cap expert and an apron expert and all of this $15 million isn't that big of a deal. And you paid a bench player starter money. Terrific. What's Malik make again?
Thank you.
Because y'all are telling me that Malik is best as the sixth man. Mm-hmm. Great. Malik makes $18 million a year. So what did you do? Did you pay a bench player starter money? I don't think $15 million is starter money anymore. Mm-hmm. We'll come back. It's Trista Crick at the top of the hour. She's ready to cook. She's got a lot of things to say. I'm positive she's going to hate this signing. From Sacramento, and if there's anything to report to you along the way, we'll stop everything and do it, but it's awfully quiet out. We're here. We'll get through it. We're in this together. Stilo and Casey on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. That was mid-bite when Jesse said we're back. I don't know what to tell you.
My bad. I wouldn't even pay attention.
It's all good.
My bad, dog.
It's all good. These These lower bars can be tough, so my bad. My bad. Trista Crick going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We've got nothing to report as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings. We mentioned, we started the show, our man Matt George was working really hard on this sign and trade story with Detroit yesterday. I don't know if, and Jake Fisher, you know, had it later in the evening. We talked a little bit about it on social media. Obviously, Kings fans were, they had some feelings because Malik Monk is believed to be a part of this. I don't know if those trade talks are still alive. Of course, we have the news that Dennis Schroeder is signing a 3-year, $45 million deal with the Sacramento Kings. Of course, everyone is aware that is essentially an agreement to sign a 3-year deal worth $45 million with the Sacramento Kings. They have 5 more days before that contract can be signed, which means they have 5 more days to execute the specific details of this trade. It could involve trade exceptions, like the one that the Sacramento Kings have for Kevin Huerter. It could involve Malik Monk. It could involve a variety of different things. The significance of a sign and trade. This needs to, you've got to understand this. The Kings don't have to do this to acquire Dennis Schroeder. I think they want to do this to move on from Malik. That was a constant question last night, is why are the Sacramento Kings trying to do this when they can just sign Dennis Schroeder in free agency? Well, there are serious financial ramifications for it. They could do so much more if it's a sign and trade. Plus, they want to. That's the important part we have to understand. They want to. They want to move on from Malik. I don't think they're discarding Malik Monk by any stretch of the imagination. But if they can move him in a way that helps them financially, you acquire Dennis Schroeder, you have one big thing you can go do with that mid-level, or you have a variety of other things you could go do with that mid-level. But you can do more. And I think that's what the Sacramento Kings are attempting to execute. Now, they've got 5 days to do it. I know no one wants things to move that slowly. Doesn't mean that they will, but it doesn't mean just because the specifics on the Dennis Schroeder deal were announced, it doesn't mean that they won't. Or they specifically, maybe more accurately, it doesn't mean that they can't. Right. They still very much can.
Right. And I wonder if they're looking at it the same way that I and a couple other people are looking at it too. It's like, it just, we can't go into this next season with Monk, Keon, and Carter. And we've tried to move Devin, and we heard what the phone was sounding like. We heard, what was it sounding like again, Dame, when you're trying to get calls for Devin Carter? Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, it was like that. So we tried to move Devin. Couldn't do that. Keon, I think they want Keon around. Like, regardless of, like, what happened the other day and what people feel about it, that was kind of like some business stuff that's unfortunate for Keon. But I don't think they want to move on from Keon Ellis. I think they want him around. And then you're looking at Malik Monk. I don't know if they necessarily want Malik Monk around like that anymore. The one thing that I don't know that I do wonder is if they were able to move on from Devin Carter, would they keep Malik Monk or would he be out as well?
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning towards he'd probably still kind of be out of their plans anyway, but I wonder if that would change some things.
Jacob asking, perfectly fair question. Is it completely out of the question that Malik is tired of dealing with how the Kings doing things and low-key asked to be traded? No. Is it out of the question? Of course, I don't believe that's what happened. There's zero indication that happened. But it's the Kings, man, so who knows?
Who knows?
Again, Trista Crick coming up at the top of the hour. The big story this morning, and arguably the only actual... We were promised fireworks. We did not get them.
So we guessed sparkler shams.
Yeah, Shams overpromised and underdelivered. The biggest story broke this morning, but it really just depends on who you believe as to what happened. Mm-hmm. Dame Lillard's time with the Milwaukee Bucks is over. He can sign with Miami. He can sign with Golden State. He can sign wherever he wants to. Mm-hmm. Doesn't change the fact he's not going to play next year, but he can sign wherever he wants to. They did the stretch provision clause. He's going to get paid for, you know, the next handful of years, a pretty decent amount of money, and can go on and sign with another basketball team. The Bucks use that money to go sign Miles Turner away from Indiana, which is stunning. I don't know if this is on the level. It's not Kevin Durant going to the Warriors, but it might be Ray Allen going to the Heat.
That's exactly what I thought this morning.
Ray Allen going to the Heat. And, man, tough for the Pacers. Great get for the Bucks. Then the Chris Haynes report that Giannis is not happy about how this went down with Dame Lillard. Then the Shams Charania report that Giannis Antetokounmpo helped recruit Miles Turner. Now, Giannis could have helped recruit Miles Turner not realizing,
right,
like, it's not his job to understand money in the salary cap. He may have done that not understanding that Dame Lillard would have to be out in order for this to work. But that's the biggest firework that we've gotten so far today.
Yeah, and then there's still this circling, this swirling LeBron situation.
Mm-hmm.
Where yesterday when we went off the air, I think it was during the draft show that they did on ESPN, or excuse me, the free agency show they did on ESPN, Brian Windhorst.
That didn't start when free agency started.
Well, that's a whole nother conversation. But I think Brian Windhorst on that show said something to the effect of, this is the beginning of the end.
You said, I'm not trying to be dramatic or controversial. That's right. This is just the way it is.
This is the beginning of the end for LeBron and the Lakers.
Yeah.
And I feel like that happens this summer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really starting to believe this happens this summer.
I'm with you. There's too much smoke out there.
Yeah.
Come on. We know how this goes.
That would be seismic.
So where? Now for those that don't know, LeBron is in complete control of this. Mm-hmm. He has a him and Brad Beal. He has a no trade clause, and his agent is Rich Paul. They can literally sit down with the team that they want to go to and navigate the parameters of what the deal would look like. Rob Pelinka has to agree to it, but not Mikal Bridges, Josh Hart. No, not Josh Hart, Karl Anthony Towns, like whatever. We looked at the money yesterday. They could trade Kat for LeBron straight up. Mm. You don't have to add anything. You can just straight up make the trade.
Does Darius Garland work? Does that even make sense, Darius Garland and co? For LeBron?
Back to Cleveland?
Yeah. I figure that's
I don't know what Darius's money is, but I'm sure it's not far away.
Yeah, you'd have to add on top of that, but
I think LeBron wants to go to the Knicks.
I don't
think meeting so. Up with his old pal Mike Brown.
Well, yeah, there's no way. Yeah, I forgot about that. Mike,
that's when
it seems like Mike's getting that job too.
It certainly feels like it. Darius is 39, 42, 44. So yeah, you'd have to.
Well, do you trade Draymond Green for him?
I think Draymond,
Draymond, Kuminga.
I feel like Draymond would quit.
Probably.
That's my, I'm not trying to be, I feel like he'd quit. He'd be
does
like,
TNT
I'm not,
have, or
I'm
does,
not playing without Steph Curry.
Do I'd they quit. Got studios in L.A. for Draymond to practice being an on-air host?
Sure.
I don't know where their studios are now.
I'm saying that's his next thing. You go do that in L.A. for the
TNT
last couple years.
TNT doesn't have
career.
Anything.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Does ESPN still have their studios out there?
In L.A.?
I don't think they do.
You said L.A., right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think they do.
That's where I think they're still out there for NBA Today, though.
No, they just jumped the Sports Center or dumped the Sports Center?
I thought so, man. I could be wrong.
Let's